4:1, Paul writes to the Corinthians. 4:1 is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. So, Father, we pray your blessing on the reading and the teaching of the Word of God. May we have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. God has designed the body to heal itself. When you break a bone, the body immediately begins to heal up that place there, producing new cells to heal the damage. And when you cut your skin, platelets clot the blood, and white blood cells come to wash away, to take away the dead cells, and then more healthy cells appear, and they begin to build new tissue at the place of brokenness and the wound. A fever. Now, we're always bummed out when we get fevers, but a fever is your body raising its temperature level in order to kill the viruses and the bacterias. And so I always wonder why we try to bring the fever down. Now, I know there's high fevers, but I think I should probably keep my fever for a little while until it can kill all that bad stuff inside of me. But God has designed the physical body, your human body. God has designed the body to heal itself. And here this morning, I want to talk to you about the gifts of healings that we read about in verse 9 as we go through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of healings are the supernatural intervention by God, restoring the body and the soul. Restoring the body and the soul to health. And the gifts of healings are really allow the body of Christ to heal herself. And obviously there's other things that are involved in the healing ministry of the church, in the ministry of Jesus, in the ministry of the early church and the Acts of the Apostles, and really historically down to the present day, there's different purposes for the gifts of healing. But I want to specifically focus here on the gifts of the gifts of healing, allowing the body of Christ to heal herself, allowing the body of Christ to experience the power of Christ in us. Now, Jesus has come to impart wholeness to us, body and soul. Now, we see everywhere in the ministry of Jesus physical healing. You can barely get through a chapter and not find someone that Jesus hasn't touched their body, and they've been healed of some very significant things that are wayward in their lives. But what about the soul? I believe that the gifts of healings here that 1 Corinthians 12:9 speaks of not only provides healing for the body, but also restoration, healing, wholeness to people's soul. Jesus came to his hometown of Nazareth as an adult in his ministry, and he went into the synagogue because it was Sabbath, and they asked him to read the prophecy or to read the word for that day. And so they handed him the scroll, and he opened it to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 4. Obviously, he didn't say that in the scroll. They didn't have those kind of chapter things. But he unrolled the scroll of the prophet Isaiah until he got to this particular passage, which is recorded in chapter 4, verse 18 of Luke. It'll be up on your screen. Jesus read this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal," what? "The brokenhearted." We could translate that, those with broken souls. The gifts of healing that God gives to the body of Christ, to different individuals in the body of Christ, are also for the healing of the soul, the healing of the heart. Because not only can you have a broken body, you can have a broken heart too. You can have a broken soul also. If you're full of hate and hopelessness, if you're full of regret and revenge, if you're full of unforgiveness and bitterness, if you're full of arrogance and indifference, you have a broken heart. That's a heart that's broken. Now, it may not cause you sorrow. You might not mourn. You might not cry. Broken hearts just to have just don't have to do with broken dreams and lost visions kind of a thing. God never intended hatred and hostility to fill the human heart. That was never the plan of God. And when hatred and revenge and bitterness enters your heart, that means your heart isn't working the way it should. That means you have a broken heart. And Jesus came to heal that. That stuff was never meant to come into your heart when there's arrogance and indifference. Your heart wasn't made to carry those kinds of things. That's the evidence. That's the symptomology of a broken heart. And Jesus came to take that out of you. Now, some of you, you've justified your hatred. You've justified your hopelessness. Man, if you knew what my ex did to me, you'd hate him too. Well, you know, we can do all kinds of things to justify and to rationalize and to excuse ourselves. But all you do is you just keep that stuff in your own heart. Someone said, I'm going to get this wrong, I know it, but unforgiveness is the only kind of thing where you drink the poison and you hope someone else will die. You know, where you know, you're the one that's poisoning yourself. And it's hate and hopelessness and regret and revenge and indifference and all this stuff lodges in your heart. Your heart's not the way. It's out of sync with how God intended the human heart to function. When God created Adam and Eve, they didn't know hatred and hopelessness and regret and revenge and indifference and arrogance and bitterness. They knew nothing of that stuff. In heaven, there's not going to be any hatred or hopelessness. There's not going to be any bitterness or regret. You know, let me be, blunt, I guess. You know, it really doesn't matter what's happened to you. Well, Pastor, you don't know what's happened to me. What my dad did, my uncle did, my mom did, my husband did, what these guys did to me. Heaven makes up for everything. Heaven makes up for everything. I believe that there are Christians who have experienced horrific things. Rape, molestation. There are Christians who have been when they were kids, you know, when they were teenagers, they were even complicit in someone's murder, complicit in someone's death. And Christ has forgiven them. And in a sense, Christ has cleansed them and healed them. But they carry the memory of that their whole lives. And it's not that every day they're drowned in guilt and shame and sorrow, but it's always there. It's always there. What you did to that girl, what you did to that boy. And you know you're forgiven. You know you're going to go to heaven when you die. You're even being used in ministry. You're Spirit-filled, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But it's still there. It's going to be gone in heaven. Heaven makes up for everything. And so, however damaged your heart is, Jesus can bring great healing, and we have the wonderful hope of heaven. Because God never created enemy that way. Jesus never bore that in his own heart. And he could have been bitter towards a lot of people, resentful, regretful, unforgiving, hateful, hopeless. That stuff just didn't find roost in his heart. Jesus never had a broken heart. Can you imagine that? Going through your whole life without a broken heart. Going through life without one shadow of regret on your conscience. That's heaven. Jesus lived in the heavenlies. He breathed the grace of God. He lived in the grace of God. But you can have broken hearts. And I believe that the gifts of healing in the body of Christ are not only specifically directed to the body, obviously, but also to the soul. Jesus said so. I came to heal up the brokenhearted. I want you to notice, too, also in verse 9, these are gifts of healings. My New American Standard Bible, which claims to be like the most literal translation there is, we're told that in verse 9, to another he gives gifts of healing. Now, in the Greek, that word healing is plural. In fact, some of your marginal notes might even point that out. Or it might even have in the text, gifts of healings. The word gift is plural. The word healing is plural. Which opens up a whole panoply, opens up a whole scope of healing that's possible in and to the body of Christ. Gifts of healings. I've heard of some churches where a gal comes forward and says, you know, I have a broken leg. Will you pray for me? And they would say, well, the guy who prays for broken legs is over there, and I pray for damaged kidneys. You know, you've come to the right place. If you've got a damaged kidney, that's the gift God has given me. And so there's gifts, plural, of healings. Because we need multiple healings, right? We're really messed up. And so Jesus comes. And so, plural healings. So we're going to let's put Matthew 4:24 up on the screen there. And I want to ask a question. What types of healing take place in the following verse here? What types of healing? So the news about Jesus spread throughout all Syria. And they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them all. So how many kinds of sickness and affliction are here in chapter 4, verse 24 of Matthew? Well, we're told there that they brought to him all who were ill. I think that word ill is like the generic term that we can put all of these illnesses and ailments under. The word ill in Greek is a really great word. It goes along with what ill. It's kakos. And how many of us with kids don't touch that? It's what? It's kaka. Now, it doesn't mean excrement, but it's really close, you know. And so that's what I think of when I think of the word ill. Kaka. You know, it's bad. You don't want it in your life. You don't want to touch it. You don't want the smell of it on your life. It's just, is there anything good about kaka? No, there's nothing good about it. We hide it away. We really don't talk about it except from the pulpit. But that's what this is. Kakos, you know. Everybody who was kakos came to Jesus here. And we're told that he healed those with diseases. Now, a disease is a disorder of function that's not the result of physical injury. And so, cancers, different thing. I mean, some of you are afflicted with different stuff that's not due to a physical injury. Now, the next word, pain, although suffering with various diseases, and pain is the result of a physical injury. And so, Jesus, if you had a broken leg, our granddaughter, a few weeks ago, pulled down a cup of hot coffee all over herself, second and third degree burns. They would bring her to Jesus. That was the result of an accident, of an injury. Broken legs. What's another injury? Sprained ankle, whatever, you know. You could bring it to Jesus. So those that had organic diseases and then those who had pains as the result of an injury. And then we're told that he cast out demons. There were exorcisms that took place. Now, this wasn't a physical healing. This was a healing of the soul. Because the demons just didn't inhabit the body per se. Like I have a demon in my arm or a demon in my little finger. Yeah, the demon took up residence within some part of the psychological, the soul dimension, the soul capacity of the person. And Jesus came and he healed those with the broken soul, those with the brokenhearted. And in this case, there were exorcisms and those with demonic possession were set free. Epileptics, when I read some of the literature now, they tell me that epilepsy was a form of demonic possession. But it's really not. Epilepsy results from the misfiring of neurons in your brain. I'm an epileptic. I'm on anti-seizure medication because I have neurons that don't conform to what they should. My story is that I had epileptic seizures in high school. I would have grand mal seizures. I would wake up from biting my tongue. I would just be like this with you. And my next conscious moment would be white hands picking me up, putting me into the ambulance. When I was 19, I went forward in my church and got prayed for to be healed of epilepsy. Now, the elders never said this, but I thought, well, if I'm healed, I'm going to go home and throw away my medication. So I just took all my Dilantin, all my anti-seizure medication, and dumped it down the toilet. And from 19 on, I was seizure-free for 35 years. Well, let me finish my story, because I'm not clapping. I was playing football. I think it was on New Year's Day with our church. It was a muddy field, and some kid went to block me, and his hands slid up my chest and just clocked my chin. I mean, I think I fell down and was kind of dozy for a little bit. But then just a couple weeks after that, I had another seizure. And so this was when I was 54. And so I'm back on my medication. Tim, do you have enough faith to flush your medication down the toilet now? A bald answer would be no. No. But another answer would be, I don't know if I should. Medicine is a gift from God. You know, I believe in divine healing. And I when I came to Christ, I came into the charismatic movement, which was very nutso about divine healing, very intent on divine healing. But it was the kind of thing, it was a very oppressive atmosphere. Because you did not want to admit to anybody if you took an aspirin for your headache. Because where's your faith, sister? Where's your faith? Don't you think Jesus can heal you? Where's your faith? And so people would hide going to the doctors. People would hide taking medications. It was an oppressive, stupid thing. And I do believe in divine healing. We lay hands on people here. But I never want to get back into that kind of a situation again. I never. There were some big name faith healers. Big name faith healers. They would have to hide going to the doctor because they would lose their donor base if people knew that they had, their lifestyle wasn't in sync with their preaching and their teaching. So I believe in divine healing. I believe in medicine, and whatever God tells you to do, you do it. And there's no shame. There's nothing of that nature whatsoever. You just follow Jesus. It is not the will of God for you to experience pain. It is not the will of God for you to experience pain. And for me, every good gift given comes from the Father. Is aspirin a good gift? Yeah. Is Tylenol a good gift? Yeah. Is morphine a good gift? They gave my 13-month-old granddaughter morphine. She would think, well, that's a good gift. That's a great gift. Now, obviously, good gifts can be abused, but every good gift comes down from the Father and should be received with joy and with blessing. Epileptics, these are seizures that result from abnormal signals from neuron. And also paralytics, he healed. They were unable to move due to illness or injury. So Jesus brings healing and wholeness to broken bodies, broken brains, and broken beings. From the outside in, from the inside out, Jesus wants to touch every area of who we are. And so there are gifts of healings in the church, gifts of healings in the body of Christ. Now, I want to talk about this, the elephant in the room. Healing and God's will. Is it always God's will to heal people? And I'm sure I'm going to make everybody mad here in the room here. Is it always God's will to heal people? And if you have a Pentecostal charismatic background, you're going, oh, of course it is. How could you suggest anything else? And if you have a non-charismatic, non-Pentecostal background, you're going, well, I haven't seen it, I don't know, and all that kind of stuff. What does the word say? Well, in the ministry of Jesus, Jesus healed everybody who was brought to him. You can look at Matthew 4:24, 8:16, 12:15, and other verses, and then in the other gospels. He healed all who were brought to him. He turned no one away. The centurion came to him and said, will you come heal my servant? Let's go. And the centurion said, well, you really don't need to come to my house. Just speak it. And he'll be saved. He'll be healed. Jairus came, the synagogue official, came up and said, my daughter's sick. Will you come heal her? Let's go. Everybody who asked of him was healed. Everybody who was brought to him was healed. No exceptions. Zero. Except you will not find one exception in the Bible. Jesus healed everybody. Now, did he heal all the sick people in Israel? No, he didn't. Remember in Acts chapter 3, James, Peter, and John, they're going up to, whoever. A couple of the apostles are going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, and they see the man sitting by the gate, beautiful, who's been there for years. And Peter and John looked at him and said, whoa, he's got faith to be made whole. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The guy rose up and walked. Now, Jesus had walked by that guy many times, no doubt. We're not told that he did, but he had to go into the temple through the beautiful gate. He had to. And so that guy would have been there. He was there for years. And Jesus passed him by. Jesus never reached out to him, and that guy never reached out to Jesus. There were many people who were not healed during the days of Jesus, but all who came to him, all who asked, were healed. Now, if we just look at that, and we ask the question, is it always God's will to heal people? We say, well, if we just look, if all we have is the example of Jesus, we would say, well, I'm forced to that conclusion. I'm forced to that conclusion just by the incredible bounty of evidence, thousands upon thousands of healings, if you can count them all up. But when we look at the ministry of the apostles, we see many healings. But Paul writes that he left Trophimus sick at Miletus. Paul wasn't healed of his stomach pains. And Timothy said, take some wine for your stomach ailments. And then Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't know what that thorn in the flesh was, but it was in the flesh, meaning this stuff here. He had a physical ailment that just wouldn't go away. Maybe it was some kind of wound that wouldn't heal, some kind of eye infection, some people would imply from or surmise from the book of Galatians. But there was something. And Paul says, I asked God three times to take this away from me. And God said, no. I'm going to keep you broken in that area of your life because my grace is made perfect in your weakness. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So Paul wasn't healed, and he went to Jesus. He went to God. No, we're not told, but I'm sure that Paul prayed for his apostolic team member, Trophimus. I'm sure that Paul had to pray for Timothy. Timothy was with him all the time, and I'm sure there were hands laid upon him, but they weren't healed. And why? I don't know. Now, with Paul, we're told, I want to keep you humble. I want to keep you looking to me. My strength is perfected in your weakness. And this always reminds you of how frail you are. This always reminds you that you're just human. This is to remind you to keep under and never be arrogant, never exalt yourself, never to think that you're... Do we still say a bag of chips and all that? Or is that just... 1990s, but don't think too highly of yourself. And so this was given to Paul so that he would not think too highly of himself, and just to keep him humble. So when we look then at the ministry of Jesus, everybody, but when we look at the ministry of the apostles, now a lot of people were healed. I mean, you can't read the book of Acts without seeing people get healed. But I have to be honest with the data and say, well, some were not healed during the Acts of the apostles. But note this, no one was condemned for not being healed. Paul didn't write, I left that sinner Trophimus, you know, at Miletus, from sick at Miletus. And Timothy, since you have such weak faith, go ahead and drink some wine for your stomach pain. There was no condemnation. No, well, I hope you grow in faith, or maybe when you get stronger or more mature. Zero condemnation when people weren't healed. In the movement I came into when I got saved, boy, if you weren't healed, well, you know, obviously you don't have enough faith. Which you're already sick, and now they shame you because you're sick. And so it really didn't ring with the grace of Jesus. I've prayed for plenty of people that weren't healed. I didn't condemn them, and I certainly didn't condemn myself. Now, maybe it was a lack of faith, possibly on their part, possibly on my part. But I didn't know that. I can't speak unless I have certain knowledge. Well, why wasn't I healed? I don't know. I wish I knew. Well, why couldn't you heal me? I don't know. Well, maybe you don't have enough faith. Well, maybe. I don't know. I'm just, you asked me to pray for you, I'm praying for you. You know, we're praying in the name of Jesus. And so I think we can overthink this. And I think we can go further than Jesus wants us to go. I prayed, you weren't healed. I love you. And let's be brothers, let's be sisters. And we'll pray again. We'll pray again next week. We'll pray again tomorrow and hope that the Lord does something then. So we see the ministry of Jesus. We see the ministry of the apostles. And in the ministry of the church, following the pattern of Jesus, we pray for everybody. Hey, will you please pray for me that I would be healed of my cancer? Well, no, I don't think God wants to heal you. I can't say that. I can't. I don't have certain knowledge. I know that Jesus prayed for everybody. Jesus laid hands on everybody. In the book of Acts, they laid hands on everybody that came to them. The church should follow what the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of the early church in the book of Acts. We lay hands on people and we pray that they be healed. And hopefully those with gifts of healings in the body of Christ will lay hands on people for healing. But following the pattern of Jesus, we pray for all. And following the pattern of the Acts of the apostles, we pray, yet not all are healed. And part of me wants to say that's okay. Another part of me wants to say that's not okay. But that's the way it is. I wish I had some deep theological insight here for you. Or go to Isaiah 52, 5, and there's the answer there. I can't find it. If you do, let me know. We'll co-write a book. And we'll split the profits. But to me, this is way above my pay grade. But I pray for you. We'll pray for healing. But we know that all aren't healed. And then following the pattern of Jesus and the apostles, we pray, but we condemn no one. We believe it. We press into it. We want it. That's the direction we want to go. We don't sit back and say, well, I don't know, man. If I lay hands on you, it may not happen. It may, maybe. It's not that. It's we're going to lay hands on you and we're going to believe Jesus to heal you. Because that's the kind of, we have a big Jesus for big problems and not a little Jesus for little problems. We're going to press in with the full power of God upon your life. And believe him for everything that needs to happen in your life. We're not going to draw back. We're going to press in. But knowing that when it doesn't happen, we're not going to condemn anyone. Don't condemn us. We won't condemn you. We'll just walk together in the mystery. Why wasn't I healed? I don't know. Man, I wish I knew. Well, as I've grown older in my faith, I'm very comfortable with gray areas. When I was younger in my faith, I had to fill in all the gray areas. I had to know, no. There had to be color everywhere. I had to understand. I had to explain. I had to have revelation. But now I'm very comfortable with gray. And I think the older you get, you will be too. It's not black, it's gray. I just don't know. And the older I get, the more I don't know. I don't know if the more I forget, it's just the more I don't know. And I'm comfortable with the gray. Now, someone might say this, but wouldn't someone with the gift of healing be able to heal all the time? Well, in the Bible, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not activated at will, but at the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And so you might have someone who has the gift of the word of knowledge. This is where you can point to someone and say, hey, this is going on in your life. God wants to do this. This is going on in your life. God wants to do that. But that's not exercised at will. That comes at the prompting of the Holy Spirit, or a prophetic word, or a word of wisdom, miracles, faith. This is at the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So no, can someone with the gift of healing just, you know, exercise their gift willy-nilly? No, it has to be at the prompting of the Holy Spirit. It has to be at his prompting. So another question is healing today as frequent as it is in the New Testament? And obviously the answer is no. I don't know how anybody with any kind of intellectual integrity could say yes, there's just as much happening today as there was in the Bible, in the book of Acts. It is not as frequent today as it was in the book of Acts. And some would say this, that the infrequency of supernatural healing indicates that God doesn't do this anymore. Listen to John MacArthur, R.C. Sproul, and this is one of their arguments, is that since we don't see as numerous evidence today as in the book, as in the Gospels, as in the book of Acts, God's not doing this anymore. And any evidence you do bring forth, they would consider to be spurious because of their presupposition, because of their assumption that God's not doing this anymore. But this is one of the arguments. The infrequency of supernatural healing indicates that God doesn't do this anymore. And so many people determine their theology by their experience. My experience determines my theology. I don't see God healing people. Therefore, God doesn't heal people. I don't see God doing this. Therefore, God doesn't do that. And so it's not the Word of God that determines my theology. It's not what God says that determines what I believe. It's what I see determines what I believe. I walk by sight, not by faith. I walk by reason and not by revelation. What I see is more influential than what God says. But I believe that I don't say what I see. I say what He says. That makes sense? Is that up there? I don't say what I see. I say what He says. I walk by faith and not by sight. I don't deny what I see. Well, we laid hands on Jack and Jack wasn't healed. Oh, yeah, but if in my earlier charismatic days, well, he was healed in the Spirit. And it just hasn't manifested itself yet. Well, that's gobbledygook. He wasn't healed. He wasn't healed. He still got the broken arm or the broken leg or whatever. And back in those days, we just make all kinds of stuff up to make God look good. Well, God did it, but you just can't see it. Yeah. I wish back then I was as skeptical as I am today, or I wish I was as bold back then as I am today and just call a liar a liar. They weren't really liars. They were just deceiving themselves. They were so desperate for God to do something that they would make it up. And they would point to a phantom and say, that's what the Lord did. But we have to be honest. We have to be honest. We prayed and nothing happened. But I don't walk. But I don't let that experience form my theology. I will not allow my experience to determine my theology. For example, what would you say? And let's say you're a born-again, Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christian. Someone comes up to you and says, you know what? I've heard you talk about prayer before. And I prayed about, you know, my situation at work. There's this deteriorating relationship between me and my manager, me and my boss. And I prayed, and it just continued to get worse and worse. It just continued to decay until now we can barely, you know, be in the same room with one another. I prayed about it, and God didn't do anything. Therefore, prayer doesn't work. You're determining your theology by your experience. Prayer doesn't work. I prayed for this, I prayed for that, I prayed for the other. Nothing happened. Prayer doesn't work. I was talking to a pastor friend within our same time of Calvary Chapel. And he says, you know, I don't think that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today anymore. And I thought, whoa. I mean, that's one of the hallmarks of Calvary Chapel. We are continuationists, not cessationists. We believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit continue and that they haven't ceased. And he was telling me, yeah, I just don't see him anymore. I said, and I gave the same illustration about someone praying. I said, would you allow them to determine their theology by their experience? And he said, no. I said, that's exactly what you're doing. The Bible says the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today. It says pursue them. It says go after them. It says desire them, covet them. Don't block their use in the church. Set your heart on them. But he would say, well, since I didn't see it, God doesn't have it for today. You're allowing your experience to determine your theology. And listen, that's dangerous. That's a dangerous place to be. I want to walk in the Word. I want to walk by the Word. I want to say what the Word says. I want that to be the trajectory of my soul. I don't want to be dishonest. Yeah, I don't see it happening, but God says He wants to do this. I'm going to press in. I'm going to believe. I'm going to press down. And I'm going to walk in this path that God has for me. And I believe that God will manifest Himself. I believe that God will do what God says He will do. Let's not determine our theology by our experience. Someone might say this, if someone prays for me and I'm not healed, is it okay to go to a doctor? And I would say, well, absolutely, absolutely. That's not a lack of faith. That's the presence of wisdom. We had a dear brother here die a few years ago because he would not go to a doctor. And he's going to handle his cancer his own way. And spirit-filled brothers, we prevailed upon him. Go see a doctor. I mean, obviously what you're doing through prayer and through your homeopathic stuff, it's not working. I mean, God's given us a good gift in medicine. Every good gift comes down from the Father from above. He just wouldn't go. And so he went to be with the Lord instead of going to the doctor. No, listen, you taking medicine is not a lack of faith. And if you're in a church that would shame you for that, get out. You don't need that. You don't need that. You don't need someone to beat up on you. You need to be with people who are going to bless you and build you up. So why don't we see more supernatural healing in the church? Let's get that next click up there. There could be three reasons. Lack of faith. We just don't expect it. Okay, I'll pray for you, but I really don't think Jesus is going to do anything. And so we have this pro forma prayer. God, come and bless our brother. Take away the tumor. Heal his body. In Jesus' name, amen. But while you're saying that, you're thinking about, where am I going to go to eat after church here? You know, I went there last week. you're not really pressing into Jesus. You're just doing this pro forma kind of a thing. We just don't expect it. It could be lack of faith. It could be lack of holiness. I mean, how can you watch pornography all week and come pray for somebody on Sunday to be healed or pray for someone on Tuesday morning at the job to be healed when your life is filled with that kind of stuff? You know, Samson, his strength was in his long hair, right? But they cut his hair. And in cutting his hair, they cut his strength. He lived an unholy life. And because of that unholiness, he lost the gifts that God had given him, or at least he lost the use of the gifts that God had given to him because he was walking in unholiness before the Lord. So you can believe all this stuff. I believe in divine healing and I believe in the laying on of hands. But listen, if you're flirting with a man, not your husband at work, your life's unholy. If you're pursuing the things of the world, if you're pursuing wealth and you think that money is your God, status, popularity. Listen, if your soul is over here, and God wants your soul to be here, how can your soul be there to pray for somebody when your soul's over there? It could be lack of holiness. And it could be a lack of gifted people stepping out. Maybe you know that God has given you gifts of healings. But what if I lay hands on them and they don't get healed? You know, I don't think, I've been doing this. I got saved right into the charismatic movement in 72. So 50 years. I can't think of one person that I've prayed for and then they weren't healed who turned around and condemned me. They're so appreciative that you would take time and pray for them and love on them through the prayer and lift them up to the Father. So, why aren't all healed? Here's my best answer. I don't know. But that's not going to stop me from pressing in to the Father's best. We need to press in to the Father's best, always seeking after God. I know this too, that the death and the resurrection of Jesus is meant for the healing of all creation. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again, ascended to the Father, he's enthroned on high now at the right hand of God. Not only is he saving your spirit, not only did he forgive you all of your sins and save you, you're born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. You're going to go to heaven when you die and all that. Praise the Lord. But he's also healing your soul. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He restores my soul. He's healing my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions. He's healing the inside of me. The broken heart, all that stuff, the hatred, the hopelessness, the regret, the resentment, the bitterness. He's healing all of that. And not only that, there's healing for the body too. And not only that, the Bible says there's healing for all creation through the death and the resurrection and the coming again of Jesus Christ at the consummation. The creation will be set free from the bondage that's been imposed upon it because of the sin of humankind. You think Yosemite looks awesome now? Just wait. You won't be able to get in there because of the long line of cars in the millennium. But it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome what that place looks like. And even around us, just a transformed creation. Christ, in his death and his resurrection, he brings healing to everything. And Christ wants to bring forgiveness to you this morning. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Paul the Apostle said that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Christ died on the cross. Now he's brought us into his body. And he wants to bring his healing to us. But it begins by a walk with God. And maybe there are those of you in this room this morning that have never publicly confess Christ. You've never given yourself to him. You've never asked him to come and forgive you of your sins. And at home, that could be true of you too, possibly. You've never asked Christ to come and cleanse you. In just a minute, I'm going to ask those of you who need to know Christ, I'm going to ask you to stand up right where you're seated. And by doing that, you're saying, Pastor, I want you to pray with me. I want you to pray for me. I'd love to lead you in a prayer of confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So if that's you, I would invite you right now just to stand up where you're seated. Christ wants to cleanse you. God, Christ wants to forgive you. God bless you guys. Christ wants to give you brand new life at home. Just stand up in your living room. Christ wants to do a work in you of forgiveness and cleansing, sending the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, giving you the hope of heaven, hope of life eternal. That if I die before I'm raptured, I'm going to be in heaven in the next second. The next nanosecond, my heart stops beating. I'm in the presence of God. What a hope we have. In this season of death that's touched the congregation, with your family members that have died, and we know people that we've been to funerals and memorial services in this last month, 6 weeks, more so than I have, I think, in my whole ministry. In this season of the valley of the shadow of death, heaven is open. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I just invite you to pray it out loud after me. It's just a prayer of repenting of your sins and putting your faith in Jesus Christ.